I was watching a TED Talk a while ago.
Yes.
I was watching a TED Talk a while ago on just public speaking in general. And, you know, TED Talks on YouTube have always been a good source for me as far as just educational purposes. And one of the practices they were talking about, so this guy's up there talking about what he does every time he speaks out in public, and he goes through this entire range of just vocal practices, you know, just weird stuff. And I think I should just sing that song every time I get up, before I get up, because it just, dude, it gets you ready. Like, it aerates your lungs. It's awesome. I love that song. Well, it is your lucky Sunday evening. We are in Psalm 67. It is a short psalm. It is a nice psalm, so I know you're probably thinking this is your lucky day. I mean, that's what I thought of. I can handle a short psalm. I can even handle a short negative song where it's talking about suffering. And I'm blanking on the word, what they call those songs. Psalms. But today, this psalm is good. It should leave you with a good feeling. But I'm probably going to ruin it because the topics I pick out, at least, well, we'll go through that. So let's go ahead and read Psalms 67. There's only seven verses, so it begins like this. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that you may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Now, this is a great psalm for many reasons, because I believe this psalm speaks directly to our mission. It speaks directly to what Jesus left us on earth to do, and that is to go out, that great commission that Jesus gave his disciples and gave to us, that you should go out to all of the world, making disciples, teaching them all of the things that Jesus has taught them, and so on and so forth, and baptizing them, immersing them into the life, the death, and the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I love how optimistic this psalm is, because it's widespread, it's global. The psalmist is saying, may the whole earth come to the knowledge of you. May the whole earth praise you and worship you. And I love this. You know, one of the great parts about not only being part of the Adventures and Missions program, but I think Churches of Christ in general give us a really great global glimpse of the church in general. Because so many of us are connected just with churches all over the world. And so we get to see that and be a part of it. Not only does our church support missions throughout the world, but we have missionaries here. I think of Eddie and I think of Cindy who have gone to Portugal. And I think of Nick. I'm blanking on where he went. He's my best friend. What's that? Brazil. Yeah, I knew that. Yes, Natalie, who went to the far-flung reaches of Alaska, and myself, who only went to Montana. As far as our AIM Adventures and Missions program, but we know other missionaries who've gone out into the world. And so what I love about this is first the first verse where it says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. When I first read this psalm, and what I do, especially when I prepare for these psalms, and if you ever find yourself preparing for one of these psalms, let me share with you my process of how I go through this. First, it's a song. It is a song. It's a song. It is meant to elicit emotion. It's meant to elicit a response. And so when you read them, I suggest highly that you first read them like you would listen to a song. And listen to it, and let the feelings wash over you, and define those emotions. What do you feel when you hear this? Do you feel depressed? Do you feel happy? You feel glad, angry, frustrated? What is it that you feel? And then, only after you've already experienced this psalm, this song, ask yourself its meaning. But don't get too deep, because we can get lost in the meaning of a lot of these psalms. Because remember, the author is merely expressing raw emotion, either elation or depression, and very few in between, it seems, between those two extremes of an emotion. And so when you read the words, a lot of times that's what we do first. And if you've ever, you know, if you've ever taken apart your favorite song, whether it be from John Lennon or whatever you guys, you know, listened to back in the 60s and 70s, Freebird, that's the only thing that comes to mind. You know, oftentimes when you read those words, you're left with, what is happening? This makes no sense. And a lot of times that's what we do with these psalms. We kind of almost ruin them by first reading the words instead of trying to figure out the emotion behind them. But I love this because, again, it's overall optimistic view of the church, of the nation of Israel, of the world in general. And it begins with this call to God, this may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. So I want to ask you, and you can respond, how has God blessed this nation? What are some of the actual blessings that you perceive that God has given to us, that we have received, again, as a nation? How has God blessed us?
Freedom of religion.
Dude, freedom of religion, yes.
Freedom of speech.
Okay, that's it for you. You only get two responses, Joni. Yes, freedom of speech. What else? What are some free? We can talk. It's okay. Doug already ruined my voice with that song, so. What do you mean by that? Just in physical resources?
Natural resources as well as human.
Yeah.
With the attitudes that we have, the form of government we have, we are financially rich in resources.
Yes. I love watching World War II documentaries. And a lot of the documentaries I'm watching now are behind-the-scenes ways that the United States helped contribute to winning the war of World War II. And they were talking about how when the United States decided to get into the war, that not only did we contribute so much because of the production, because we would send them, our entire country became single-minded in its production to win the war. I forget the exact statistics, but they said if the Axis destroyed a tank, we could throw five more at them. Anytime a boat was sunk, we would send more boats because of just the wealth of of our resource, but the people that were able to do something with it. I think you're right. What else? What else have you seen God bless this nation, bless our nation? You're right. Mm-hmm. I think one of the ways that God has really blessed this nation is that anybody can be a part of it, that we are a nation of immigrants. We are a nation and I love this. There was a blog I was reading, and it was talking about how, you know, if you move to France or if you move to Spain or if you move somewhere else, you can get citizenship, but it'd be very difficult. They probably wouldn't consider you actual Spanish or French. You know, they wouldn't give you that title because you weren't born there. Yet people from France, Spain, or anywhere else can come here and become an American. And they can have access to what it means to be an American, whatever that means to you. You know, I thought of this idea of, you know, when you see this on bumper stickers as God Bless America. And I love this question in verse 1, not this question, but this statement, this going to God, saying, may God be gracious to us and bless us. I respond to that initial, to this initial verse by saying, well, hasn't he already blessed you? I even think of this to David. Hasn't God already blessed you, David? Isn't it a little selfish to be asking for more blessings? You know, as Americans, as prosperous as we are, you know, we have this God bless America. My knee-jerk reaction is, man, hasn't God already blessed us? Yeah. And that is how God blesses us. I love that. Thank you, Joni. I think you're right. The truth is that God has blessed us so much. But there's still that road that God asks us and that we can still go to him and say, God, will you please bless us? Will you guys continue to bless us? But I know the response as I continue to read through the Bible is God will hold us accountable for those blessings. How well that we as a people, how well as we as a church community, how well as we as a nation have done at being a steward with the blessings that God has given us. And I love, though, David is still going to God saying, bless us, may your face shine upon us. And at first, that's a beautiful statement. That's a beautiful request to make of God, right? That is something we all want to be a part of. I don't know how you imagine heaven. I don't know how you imagine that first experience of seeing God or seeing Jesus. And it is something that we desperately want. In the Old Testament, we see these words used quite often, this idea of God, may your light shine upon us. May your face shine upon us. But it had a different meaning to them than it does to us. To us, when we think of may the light of your face shine on us, we think of, I don't know, warm marshmallows. We think of it's a glorious experience, a happy experience, free of fear, free of any of those things. Yeah, but that's not how the Bible puts it. I want to read this in Exodus chapter 33. And this is kind of what the author is calling back to, this story of Moses on Mount Sinai. And Moses had been on Mount Sinai for quite some time. He'd been receiving the law. He had been receiving all of the requirements God is going to be making Israel do. He's been up there for 40 days and 40 nights and plus some. He's been up there for a long time. And so finally, there's something on the back of Moses' mind. There's a question that he wants to ask God, and he finally gets the courage to do it. And so I want you to put, and I've asked you this, guys, constantly, but I want you to put yourself in Moses' shoes. You are conversing with the creator of the universe. Have any of you ever said to yourself, when I get to heaven, I have 5 questions I'm going to ask God, and I can't wait to ask those questions to God? Moses is one of those guys who could do just that, where he could ask God, like, how did you create the earth? And he shows him, he tries to write it down, and that's how we got Genesis, you know. And Moses is in this position that all of us cherish. We want to ask God this, and this is kind of Moses' chance, and this is what he does with it. And it's in Exodus 33, starting in verse 17. And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do. Let me start up a little bit above it. I apologize. Verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you, and I will go, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, if your presence will go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, and I in your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. And Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. I want you to skip ahead to the next chapter, and I want you to read this. Afterwards, Moses gets the Ten Commandments, and it kind of picks up with Moses heading back down from the mountain in verse 29 of chapter 34. Now, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, he came down from the mountain, and Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with him, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove that veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. So you see the cultural connection between what the psalmist, what David is talking about, and the story of Moses and God. See, to Israel, this idea of God's face shining down on them, it was a veil. It was a separation that existed between them and God that they couldn't see past. And so Moses, when he asks God, I want to see you, I want to see your face, God's response is, if you do that, you will die. But God gives him a way out and says, well, I will put you in a cleft of the rock. I will put my hand over you, pass by you, and I will give you a chance to see my back, the edges of God's glory. And that was enough to get Moses' face to shine like the sun, enough to where he came down with the two stones of the commandments, and people were running away in fear because they didn't know what was happening. And so when the psalmist comes out with this song saying, God, bless us, may your face shine on us, the psalmist is saying, I don't want to see just the edges of your glory. That is not enough for me. I know it may take away my life, but I am praying that there will become a situation in the future where there will no longer be that restriction. I can look at the face of God and not have to worry about my life. That I can look at the face of God and be in a relationship where I can see him face to face. And we know that to be Jesus. We know this to be Jesus, that when we look at Jesus, and when they looked at Jesus, his disciples looked at Jesus, they saw God face to face. They saw the glory of God in the form of humanity. It's what makes that psalm so beautiful. It is not only, I believe, optimistic in the reaches of Israel, in the reaches of the church. But it's this idea that someday there won't be these restrictions. Someday there will be this relationship that we have with God where his face will shine on us. And the world will be able to see the glory of God and praise him. And that is manifested in Jesus Christ. That's what I love about that. And I even find it quite weird. I had more of my lesson to deal with the fear that he mentions at the very end, that the earth may fear him, but I'm not going to get into that. You guys will just never get to hear that. I love this because it is such a great image of what Jesus has done, that because of Jesus Christ, because of what 12, 13 people have been able to hear and be able to take away from Jesus, that his message, God's message, has covered this globe. Over and over and over again. We see this. If you have any needs this evening, any needs at all, please come forward as we stand and as we worship God.